I would ask you to please turn with me to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 2, the Gospel of Luke and chapter 2, and we're going to look this evening at verse 14 in particular. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now the glory of God is most assuredly magnified in our minds and hearts in the wonderful event of the birth of the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. In fact, His glory was sung and magnified in His very presence by the angels. There was praise in heaven when Christ was born, and there was on earth peace. That was the message. On earth peace and glory to God. And so the subject this evening is the glory that's manifest in the incarnation of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in heaven with the angels. But glory to God here on earth for the great message of the incarnation. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Glory to God then in the highest. Now, God's glory is magnified by the gracious words which God conveyed to the shepherds by the angel of the Lord. On earth peace, goodwill toward men. And this was the multitude. There was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying. But then in verse 10, there was the angel in the singular. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. And that brings us in this evening, to all people. These gracious words of God. God, who is holy and pure and just and righteous in all His ways, is a God who is love. And His Son is the great manifestation of His love to this world. And God's glory is magnified in the language spoken by the angels to the shepherds. God's glory as our Creator. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. Well, we look at this particular message of that God sent by the angels to the shepherds, and we see so much of the grace of God within this message, the glory of God that is manifest in His love and in His grace. So they said to the angels said to shepherds, do not be afraid. I am a heavenly messenger of God's love to you. I am a heavenly messenger of His mercy to you. I am a heavenly messenger of His grace to you. I am a heavenly messenger of His compassion to you. So do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. You see, friends, if we face God in and of ourselves, without the intercession, without the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have every reason to be afraid. But as we come to God in the gospel, in the person of Jesus Christ, do not be afraid, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. This is what takes away the fear. Because in Christ Jesus we can come to God the Father as our Father in heaven. Good tidings, behold, the most wonderful news has ever been proclaimed to this world. Isn't it wonderful this evening that in the midst of fake news, that we don't really know now what is true, what is false in the media, really, to be sure, to be certain. But we have this message this evening. It's not fake news. It's good news. It's absolute news. It's certain news. It's good tidings of great joy. And it isn't just to be to a certain level of people. The Word of God says it is to all people. And that brings us in this evening. The all of God extends throughout the world to everyone in whatever condition you may find yourselves this evening. Your case, your condition, your situation is included in the all. It's good news, good tidings of great joy this evening. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. Great joy. Well, the joy is that there is hope. There's light in a dark place. There's certainty in an uncertain world. The Lord Jesus Christ, as the Savior of the world, can bring to us reconciliation with God, forgiveness of our sin, true spiritual life, good tidings of great joy throughout the whole world. All kinds of people from all nations who respond with repentance and faith, they receive these good tidings of great joy. And this statement has proved undoubtedly true. Unto you is born. Unto you is born. Now, this is there is born to you this day in the city of David, to you. And the angel was speaking to the shepherds here, but this is a message to all mankind. To you is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, this is a personal encouragement to all those who are being awakened of their need of a Savior. When the Spirit of God quickens us, regenerates us into spiritual life, and that first work is to have a realization of the holiness and majesty of God, and something of the state of our own heart by nature. And we can come to this verse this evening, and it brings us in here. There is born to you this day, you personally, you who may well be under the conviction of sin, who may well be, even as a Christian, struggling with a certain issue, but you're under conviction with it, and it's to you. This is what the Word of God says this evening. Unto you, this day, in the city of David, a Savior, Christ the Lord, Christ the Anointed One, who is both God now and man, a Savior to deliver, a Savior to cause to escape. It means to preserve, to make alive, to make safe, to provide a redemption for you, to save you from the righteous and just wrath of God over your sin, from the condemnation of God's holy law, from eternal punishment, from your enslavement to sin. And this shall be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And if we know anything about our own hearts this evening, friends, and I'm speaking to myself here, I'm afraid pride is the sign that relates to us so often. That's the sign, so sadly, in our own lives. But what is the sign of Christ? Brother Steve read this morning in Philippians 2 in the prayer meeting, this is the sign of Christ, humility. This shall be a sign to you, a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And the sign of Christ is humility. The sign of the old man by nature is pride, but in total contrast is the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ. The glory of God in salvation then. His condescension as Almighty God to be a babe in a manger. In his condescension, he announced the good news. The angel of the Lord was sent by God to announce the good news to shepherds. And then the glory of God in salvation is seen in its purpose. Angels lit up the darkness of the night. A multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now friends, we might say this evening, well, if this was so, such a great event and there was a multitude of angels, why was it only the shepherds saw them? Why not all Jerusalem? Because in the sky it would have been manifest. But we're talking here about the angelic realm. And God opened the shepherds' eyes, both to hear and to see the angels in the spiritual realm in a pure way. And they came and they were singing, and the shepherds could actually hear the angels singing. And it was just the shepherds who could actually hear the angels singing and what their message was. And so the shepherd said, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. There is an angelic realm. There is also, sadly, an awesomely serious. There is also an evil spirit realm. The Apostle Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. But here is the pure realm, angelic realm, sent from God. And these men, these shepherds, these humble shepherds, had their eyes opened and their ears opened to see something that they'd never seen before. And it was the glory of God manifest to them through the angels coming to them. And they go to Bethlehem. Well, God's glory then in salvation is magnified in our minds as we consider the message that it brought. Peace on earth, goodwill toward man. Isn't that something positive? In an evil world in which we live, peace on earth and goodwill, God's goodwill toward men. And if we look into scripture, we can see how oftentimes God's glory is actually linked with his mercy and the gospel and his grace. We go back into the Old Testament. You remember how Moses was a shepherd at that time, just like these shepherds. And the glory of God came to Moses in the burning bush. And we read that Moses was fascinated with this bush that was burning but not being consumed. And so he comes along to this burning bush and a voice comes, take the shoes and off your feet because you are on holy ground. And God then said something amazing to Moses and revealed to him that he'd heard the cries of the children of Israel in Egypt. He'd seen their suffering and he was going to come down and deliver them. And of course, that is typical of the Lord Jesus Christ. God saw into time. He saw our sin. He saw our need. And he sent the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver us. So the holiness of God was linked here in Moses' experience with actually the mercy of God in deliverance. But then what about the transfiguration on the Mount of Transfiguration, where the glory of Jesus Christ was manifest to Peter, James and John, and his body was transfigured before them. And they saw that two men were speaking. Again, this is the angelic realm, we might say, the spiritual realm, where these two men, Moses and Elijah, in a pure way, who'd already gone to glory, were there present in a way beyond their comprehension, but they were there present with the Lord Jesus Christ upon that mount. And it was a glorious time. It was a holy time. It was a pure time. But what were they speaking about in that glorious time when the glory of God was being manifest? They were speaking about his sufferings to come. They were speaking about Calvary. They were speaking about the cross. They were speaking about the Savior of the world. They were speaking about what Jesus Christ came to do, to manifest the love of God to needy sinners. And so again we see this link between the glory of God and the love of God and the mercy of God and the grace of God. And when the Apostle Paul was converted, he was on the road and suddenly a bright light shone and it blinded Paul. It was so bright. And he fell down on his knees and the Lord Jesus spoke to Paul and he said, "What would you have me to do, Lord?" It was manifest to Ananias how Paul had been called by God to go and preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And so again you see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ linked to the gospel, linked to the good news of the gospel, linked to a Savior. And so we have it this evening in the message of the shepherds. And that should encourage us to fear not. Out of Jesus Christ, God's almighty power can do nothing but devour. But in Christ Jesus, it has exactly the opposite effect. It draws us to God. Though we walk with God, we have a closeness with God in the very person of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is good tidings of great joy. But then, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace. Peace. Now, considering the state of the world in which we live, the word peace on earth might have a hollow ring this evening. In a study examining 3,500 years of history, it was discovered that only 268 of those years have been free from recorded war. Moreover, 8,000 peace treaties have been signed and then subsequently broken. In the last three centuries, it was noted that there has been no less than 286 wars on the continent of Europe. So the facts of history tell a different story of peace on earth. So comparing the announcement with the reality, how do we come to this, the fulfillment of this wonderful promise and statement of truth? This peace does not refer to peace among the nations here. As long as this world continues under the curse of sin and unbelief, there will be wars and rumors of war. These words do not refer to a social peace. Men promised that when men and women became more educated, the world would become a better place. But we know the reality is that the more we invent, the more information we have, and the more things we manufacture, actually, it creates more evil in terms of the ability to abuse those inventions. And in fact, the Word of God says in the last days, perilous times will come. And that's not speaking about peace on earth, is it? For men will be lovers of themselves and lovers of money, boasters and proud and blasphemers and disobedient to parents and unthankful and unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Well, that sums up the world today, doesn't it, in many parts of the world. No, the peace announced by the angels is actually dealing with the fundamental root problem in the world. Men are at war with God. That's the issue here. By nature, we are at war with God. And even a little child, by nature, is at war with God. That's an awesome thought, isn't it? We don't have to teach our children to be naughty. It comes naturally. I'm sure each one of us could say our mums and dad didn't teach us to be naughty. It comes naturally out of the heart. And that, because of that, it's evidence that we are actually at war with God. And so the peace announced by the angels is announcing the possibility here and now of reconciliation. Reconciliation between man who needs it and God who provides it through Christ, the Prince of Peace. A peace which is essential for us. It's effective, it's enduring, it's eternal. It's an essential peace for us. It's essential this evening that we are at peace with God, that we might be delivered from hell and find the way to heaven. This is not an optional add-on in your life. It's essential in your life. God knows all about your life. His Spirit is like an X-ray machine. There's nothing hidden from the Almighty God this evening. You know, going through the Dartford Tunnel on Thursday, I noticed that the sat-nav still works. And you know, you're under the water, you're in a tunnel. And yet the sat-navigator still works. It still has a signal. Somehow, I don't know how, but it does. Well, wherever we are, there's always a signal to God. God's never out of signal. He's never like we are with our mobile phones and we get frustrated if we haven't got a signal. Or we can't get, what's it called? When you have a, it's gone from my mind, but 4G, whatever it is, you can't get it. And we sometimes get a bit concerned. We're out of contact. But God is never out of contact with you, in as much as he can see us all the while. Well, God knows all about our lives, and we need to know peace with God. This is an essential peace. Now, many people, many millions of people, after Christmas Day will see the essential need of life is to get a discounted bargain. I know people who actually spend Boxing Day going to the shops to get the bargain. And some people will camp outside a shop all night to get the best bargain, and then there will be a rush and some people will be fighting at the same time to get the best deal, while at the same time they are neglecting the best gift of all, which doesn't actually cost them a penny. And it doesn't wear out. It doesn't depreciate. It doesn't break. It's the greatest gift of all. It's the gift of God's salvation to you in Jesus Christ the Lord. And it's absolutely free. And simply you have to come in your need to receive it from God in Jesus Christ. It's an effective peace also. This is the heart of the message of at Christmas. God is holy, but he's also the God of love. It's impossible for human beings to reconcile themselves with God, but it's possible with God. You know, the disciples said to Jesus when he was speaking about how hard it is for rich people to enter into the kingdom, and they said, who then can be saved, you know? And Jesus said, with God, all things are possible. What things are impossible with man are possible with God. And this is why Jesus came. He came to do the impossible by human estimation. He came to save. He came to deliver. He came to rescue. This was his mission. From the manger to Calvary was salvation. The honor and glory of God. Obedience to his Father. Constant objective in life. Never deviating from the purpose of his coming. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the peacemaker, the propitiation between us and himself because of our sins. It's an extensive peace. None are too bad or too difficult for God to handle with the God with whom all things are possible. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Peace. enduring then everlasting peace. This inner peace that arises out of an assured confidence in Christ. There is a peace of God which surpasses all understanding. And the secret is keeping our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus the Lord. When Nicholas Ridley was burned at the stake because of his witness for Christ, on the night of his execution, his brother offered to remain with him in the prison chamber to keep him company, to comfort him. But Nicholas Ridley declined the offer, and he said he was going to go to bed and sleep as quietly as ever he did in his life, because he knew the peace of God. He could rest in the strength of the everlasting arms of his Lord to meet his need. And those everlasting arms are the same today, this evening. The eternal God remains our refuge this evening. And underneath are the everlasting arms. Nothing has changed with God. A lot has changed in the world, but nothing has changed with God. I was reading about Robert Louis Stevenson. He tells of a storm that he was caught on it one time in a ship, and it was off a rocky coast, and it threatened to drive the passengers to destruction. And in the midst of this terrible storm, one passenger, contrary to orders, went to the deck, and he made this dangerous passage to the pilot house to see the steerman. And this steerman, he saw, was lashed fast at his post, tied to his post with a rope, holding onto the wheel unwaveringly. And inch by inch, he was turning the ship out once more to sea. And the pilot saw the passenger with fear on his face, and he smiled at him. And the passenger got back eventually to all the passengers below deck who were so frightened. And he said, "I have seen the face of the pilot, and he smiled, therefore all is well." And as we come as a sinner to Jesus, we see the face of the pilot of our life, and he smiles, and all is well. That is the peace that we have. And whatever situation you may be in, dear friend, this evening, if you will look to Jesus, you will find he won't turn his face away. Sometimes Jesus looks upon us from heaven with a sad face. He did with Peter, and it made Peter cry. When Peter denied the Lord, we read that Jesus looked at Peter, and Peter saw this, and he wept bitterly. It was a look of sadness. But when we come as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we come just as we are, and then when we are perhaps now a believer in the way, and we're in a difficult pathway, and we come just as we are, in absolute dependence and humility on the Lord Jesus, the pilot of our life, he will smile, and all is well. That's where the peace comes from, knowing that Jesus is our shepherd, Jesus is in control, Jesus is leading our life. The word of God endures forever. That's where our security is. The peace of God, passing all understanding, keeping our heart and mind in Christ Jesus the Lord. Well, an essential peace, an effective peace, an extensive peace, an enduring, everlasting peace, and goodwill toward men. That means God's good pleasure in Jesus Christ. God's kindness, his desire is not to destroy. His desire is to deliver. God delights in mercy. He takes pleasure, the greatest pleasure, in his action of grace. There's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. Just one sinner that repents. If God is leading you this evening in conviction of your sin to come just as you are, and just fall down by faith at the Lord feet of the Lord Jesus and look to him and him alone, just that one act of faith causes heaven to rejoice. There's an immediate knowledge in heaven. And there'll be singing in heaven. God responds to man's fallen will, man's rebellious will, with his good will, his perfect will in Christ Jesus. Well, finally this evening, I just want to remind you of the wonder of this gift. Evidently on eBay on Boxing Day, hundreds of thousands of people will be offloading unwanted Christmas gifts. In fact, it's said that estimated recently that over 1 million unwanted Christmas presents went onto eBay in one nation alone. Unwanted gift. Is the Lord Jesus Christ an unwanted gift for you? Well, God's gift is for life. And there's never been a more thoughtful gift than this. Never been a more effective gift. There's never been a more useful gift. There's never been a more loving gift than this. Now, children, you know, I actually know what my present is. I actually know what my present is on Christmas Day. My big present. You see, children, we went down to Canterbury and I needed to go into home base to get some tar for the roof. And just happened that home base in Canterbury is closing down. And you know, this is an interesting story, children. Just let me tell you this story because it's quite interesting. It has a very happy ending in two ways. One is that as we went into home base, I said, oh, look, there's tools at half price. And there was. These tools were at half price. And there was a drill that I really... thought, this, and I said to the man, you know, that drill will last me the rest of my life. And he said, don't say that. I said, well, it's a Ryobi drill. It's a really proper job. It's a professional. It's a man's drill. And it's got a driver with it as well. In any case, I smiled nicely at my wife and we got the drill. And I've got something useful. It's very useful. But this is the end of the story, children. There wasn't any tar in home base. And I went to Wickes. You know what happened, children? I was looking, and who should I meet but Brother Ed in Wickes? And I said to Ed, he said, what are you here for? I said, well, I'm buying some tar. He said, well, this is what stuff you need. It's special stuff for roofs. So I got the right advice. So off I go to the place. I look at the tin, and it's about £35. And Ed said, that's going to be expensive. And then my phone rang, and it was Ed. And he said, you know what? I've got a tin in my boot. And you can have some of it. And he gave me it free. So I didn't have to pay anything. So that was really good, wasn't it, children? That was very kind, wasn't it? And generous. It was a wanted gift, you see. It wasn't an unwanted gift. It was a wanted gift. And I needed it. And the Lord Jesus is like that. He is the most necessary gift you can ever have in your life. And you know, children, sometimes we don't realize the value of it. You know, there was a man that died, and he lived in a shack on a mountain. He lived on a mountain, and he used to dig in this mountain for minerals. And that was his life. And in his shack, there was just a table and a little bed and a candle. There was no amenities, and... So in any case, the relations came and they took what they wanted. It wasn't much to take. And the neighbors came up the mountain and they said, do you mind if we take what's left? Well, help yourself, they said. There's nothing much left, so you can have whatever you like. And so they went into the house and they knew something very special about this house. They knew that this man had actually spent his life, when he was digging for minerals, he was also looking for gold. And they looked at the floor and they lifted up the floorboard and there was some gold. Actual gold that he'd dug and got out for over the years. And It was such a lot of money, such a great worth. And yet their relations just went off where they couldn't be bothered to look. They couldn't be bothered to search. They couldn't be bothered to really find out the true value of what that man had left. And we can be like that with Jesus, not really realizing what a golden value he really is. So let us remember that. This is a wonderful gift. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.